I like a mint lab spirit and coffee. Got my coffee here. Oh, so yum. Great, great, great. So hopefully everybody's doing well. We'll see people get on. I don't necessarily have a particular topic in mind to talk about, but I know as my mouth starts to move, things start to come out. And I never run out of words to say or ways to express or describe the world. I mean, there's like multiple billions and trillions of ways to perceive and communicate, right, the world and how we see it and use this flair. Oftentimes it's like zip it up and just be. And trust me, I do a lot of zipping my mouth and just being. People may not believe that, but it is true. That I do spend a lot of time in silence, with my own thoughts and not necessarily in communication, which is interesting. So, especially getting into a crowd of individuals that I don't necessarily know, I observe first. I observe, I listen, I watch, I look and just. I just be. I wasn't always like that, right? When I was younger, I was always loud and bold, and I did that, I think, just because of the sort of nerves. I think it was nerves, and I didn't know how to behave, and I think all this excited energy would, start to well up inside of me, and then I would get excited and want to just love up on people, and then it would be too much. They'd be like, "Who the hell are you and what's going on?" And I'd be like, "I don't know. I'm just excited that there's people around. I don't know. It's weird." But of course, as we get older, we start to shed those other parts of ourself and start to step into who we truly are, right? And so, good morning, music. And so, as we do that, as we start to step into our more authentic version of ourselves, we sort of let go of the things that are not us. They shed, they kind of go away, and then we become this other thing. And this other thing is like, what is this? Like this morning, right? And I was, just getting ready and stuff and feeling the energy that's welling up inside of me. Now it's a latent energy. It's an energy that's always been there. So oftentimes we have these energies within us. They've always been there. They're sort of just hanging out, waiting for their chance to be recognized. And oftentimes we may repress them out of fear that, oh, well, it's not appropriate, and that's fine. But literally learning how to allow the energy to surface up and out, so that we can shift it into loving kindness. And I was actually having a conversation last night, with a good friend of mine, someone who I met on Spirit and Coffee. And they were talking about some of the emotions that they were experiencing, but being authentic about it and being real about it and saying, this is what's coming up for me. Doesn't matter what it is, but saying it and being able to identify it. Now, understanding that once we identify these uncomfortable pieces of ourselves, because they're going to surface, they're going to show up. Right, is that when we face them and we look at them, now we have the opportunity to shift and transform and transmute. And that's the beauty of it, right? It's like it wells up, it's within us. We look at it and we go, okay, now what? Now what do we do with it? How do I shift it? Now it becomes a somatic thing, right? The embodiment of a principle. So it's funny because you'll get people to say, yeah, I know. And I'm like, okay, but do you feel? Knowing is the mental capacity, the mental space that we carry, right? The understanding of a concept. And I've talked about this before, and it's funny because I'll work with coaches, right? And these are individuals who do the work too. Even myself, we forget all the time. That's why life coaches are critical to have, right? Good morning, Yolanda. I talk about it all the time. I have a life coach. I have coaches in my life for a purpose. Why? Because sometimes we forget the things that we say. We don't know how to apply them to ourselves. Sometimes there's these points where we get stuck. And so, for instance, this individual was stuck, and we were talking, and I said, okay, I was, you know, saying something, and then she says, I know. And I said, yeah, I get that you know. That's not what we're addressing. Conceptually, we know stuff. Now let's drop into the body. How are we experiencing it in the body? Good morning, Josiah. How are we experiencing it in the body? How do you experience a concept in the body, right? That's alien to us. No one asks us those questions. Who asks you those questions? No one. Your coaches. If your life coach is a really good coach, they're going to ask you those embodiment questions because it lives in our body. It's inside of us. And it's just there, right? It's in us. So we start to say, well, how do we embody a concept? How do you feel a concept, right? So if someone says, you know, I'm angry. Oh, good. Where do you feel the anger? Well, I just feel like a mat. No, where in your body, where? And people don't want to answer this question. It's quite interesting. It really throws people for a loop. And the reason why is because we're not asked those types of questions. We don't know how to use our bodies properly, most of us. It's the truth. If we did, we wouldn't have all this disease and all this stuff, right? If we had a manual, and there are manuals, right? The Ayurvedic text, probably, I think, the closest manual to how we should be eating for sure. And then there's other texts for how to move the body, like yoga, kundalini, all these different exercise programs show us or teach us how to move the body. So if we understand how to do this and we understand how to embody a concept, that's the magic right there. Like people say, I want to experience abundance, right? Well, first of all, when we talk about abundance, what does it even feel like to experience abundance? Do you even know what that feels like for you? Where do you feel abundance? If you were living the most abundant life you could have, where would you be experiencing it in the body? What would it feel like? What would it feel like for you to be able to embody the very essence of abundance? What does it feel like in the body? Now, here we go. People will start to conceptualize again. Good morning, Susan. And their conceptual parts, and they'll say, and then you'll tell them and they'll go, yeah, I know. I'm like, no, I get that you know. You get it. You're smart. You get the concept. That's awesome. But how do you feel it? How do you experience it? Tell me what your body's going through when you talk about this particular concept or word. Oh, now that shifts the conversation. And now they're going like, well, I don't know. And I said, well, that's exactly why. That's where your hiccup is, right? When we get to a point, and I'll talk a little bit about coaching today, which is, I don't talk much about it, but when I'm coaching individuals, right, we get to the point of, I don't know. That is the point where you're stopping yourself from progressing and growing. I don't know is really, in my opinion, a backdoor. It's a cop-out for not wanting to dig deeper into the consciousness. Or if you don't know, you're denying it, or you've repressed it in the subconscious so much that you don't know how to allow it to come through. Good morning, those on Facebook. Say good morning. I don't know who's on here. Those repressed, okay, pieces of our subconscious mind, right, that we just keep there. And then we get to a point where we're like, we're stuck. And then you get a coach, right, who's tapping into that. And you say, I don't know. And I'm like, okay, that's it right there. That is the point of, I get to shift that energy. That is where I'm getting stuck. That is why I can't progress forward. Because it's either I don't know because I'm not conscious and aware of it, or two, I do know and I'm saying I don't know because I'm too embarrassed to tell or be honest with myself about the feelings that are coming up, about what it is that's actually coming up. Instead of saying I'm angry or I'm upset or I'm envious or I'm jealous or I'm whatever it is, right? Whatever that sensation or feeling is that starts to arise within you. And if that feeling and sensation, if you can't talk about it, if you can't give it a name, if you can't express it, you have no place for it. You're putting it back inside. You're not giving it a container, right? Now we put it into the container and then we put other secret sauces in there and we mix it up and we transform it into something that makes sense. Something that's going to support us to move closer to our divine birthright. So knowing is one thing, and we know a lot, right? People know a lot. I mean, I say I don't know shit because I really don't, but we understand concepts. Like, you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth. Okay, that's Friday. You understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Nope. We understand the words coming out of the mouth. We conceptually get it. We can see it, but how do we feel it? Different question. Totally, and how we engage with it, completely different. So it could be like anger or frustration or even love. Hey, Linga, how are you today? Did you play today? Did you play some songs? Or no playing today? So when we do that, right, when we conceptualize but don't experience, that's the hiccup. That's the part that gets us stuck and doesn't allow us to progress and grow and move forward and blossom into. Okay. So really asking yourself, where are the things or the repressed feelings that I'm not being honest with myself about, and giving it a container. Okay, so you can just even be like, if you wanted to make it like all witchy and brewy, you could be like, I'm going to give it a cauldron, right? I'm going to put a cauldron there and I'm going to throw it into the cauldron. Now, what are we throwing into the cauldron? I don't know. Write the recipe if you need to. If you need to make it actual physical, tangible thing instead of this physical thing, right? Oh my God. That is so funny, Linga. Oh, no. But, well, I guess you play for yourself. So I asked my friend Linga if he played, for those of you on Facebook, because he plays music. And he said he played for an hour and realized that his mic wasn't on. So he just basically played for himself for an hour, which is awesome. That message was meant for you. It was your connection to your divine happiness and joy without having to play for an audience, but just allowing yourself to enjoy the moment for yourself. That's awesome. Play with myself for an hour. That would be play with myself for an hour. Sorry. Not mind gutter stuff. Okay, you guys. Get your head out of the gutter. Oh, let's see. We're going to invite Linga in. Let's invite Linga in. I like to bring Linga in. Oh, no, no. Oh, you're not trying to call in? Pocket dial. No, it's not. It is not a pocket dial. Life is not about pocket dials and coincidences. Obviously, you have something to share, vocalize. What are you throwing into the pot? Oh my God, my he just went in the coffee. I'm a hot mess. My thing just went into the coffee. Thank God I got a little tissue here. Okay, let's keep going. Give me five. Awesome. So, okay, so we put it into the cauldron. So we say, okay, what is not serving me and what am I not being honest about? So again, those feelings that we sort of deny or repress or don't want to tell, we're too embarrassed to tell. And embarrassment's another one too, right? Throw that into the cauldron, right? So if we had this cauldron or this container, it doesn't have to be a cauldron if that freaks you out. It could be anything, right? A pot, you can call it your soup pot, whatever you want to call it. Cauldron's the same thing, but okay. So you'll put it in. Okay, and you can even write this out if you want to. like write it out and then burn it up. I don't know how you're going to do it, but you make it into a sort of a ritual. So you're right. I am angry at blah, 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 whatever you're writing, right? The feelings that I'm embarrassed to talk about are blah, 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 blah. Write it down. Put it into the cauldron. Okay. Now what you do is you say, what is the opposite of that? If you were experiencing, for instance, and this is the conversation that came up with my friend, was jealousy, right? That was the experience they were having. If that was the experience, if that was the feeling, what would the opposite of that be? If you weren't experiencing jealousy, if you weren't experiencing envy, or if you weren't experiencing whatever it is, right? Unworthiness, right? Or whatever. And really jealousy, all that, everything boils down to feeling unworthy, really, honestly, when we actually get down to the core, not enough, not worthy. Usually those are the two core kind of core feelings and sensations that seem to arise. So when we get there and we throw it into the cauldron, right? I'm not enough. I'm not worthy, whatever. Okay. You put it in. What is the opposite of that? If you're feeling unworthy, what would you be experiencing if you weren't feeling unworthy? What would you be experiencing? And then you tell yourself, well, worthiness, okay, good. Where do you experience that? What does worthiness mean to you? How do you define it? What does it mean, first of all? Conceptually, we understand. We say, oh, yeah, I get it. I get it. Right? That was the thing. It was like, I know. I said, I don't care if you know. Okay, this is me being coach mode. I don't care if you know, it's not the question. The question is not about what you know, it's how do you feel? Okay, different question. Yes, you know, of course we know, we're smart individuals, we have a brain. I don't care about how you know a concept. I want to understand how you're experiencing the concept, because that is where the transmutation happens. It's a chemical reaction in the body. It's an understanding of how to deal with the emotion as it arises in you and how to shift the energy. Good morning, Echo. So as that feeling and sensation arises in you, as it starts to move up, where do you feel it in the body? Okay. Is it the heart? Is it the stomach? Is it the throat? What is it? Your legs, your hands, your head, your eyes, your nose. And you're like, oh shit, I feel it in my heart. Okay, now what? What is your heart doing when you're experiencing this? Well, or if it's anxiety, what does it feel like? Oh, well, like, good morning, Roberto. It's, you know, my heart's feeling palpitations and it's overly, you know, working. Okay, now I want you to breathe into that feeling. Release it. Now, when you're looking at what is the opposite of that feeling, right? What is the opposite of that particular feeling? Oh, maybe it's peace and joy. Well, where do you feel that peace and joy? Where in your body does that peace and joy actually show up? I don't know, in my chest or whatever it is, right? For different people. And this, literally, this is why every person is uniquely different. And this is why I coach individuals differently, right? There is no set agenda for me to coach somebody into a feeling or a sensation or a principle. Like, I wouldn't say, oh, you just need to be vulnerable. Let's deal with that. No, because that may not be what is right for you. You know you better than I know you. Nobody knows you better than you. You're with you all the time. I'm not with you all the time. I'm with me all the time. And dear Lord, let me tell you, hey, Echo, yeah, awareness. Let me tell you what, me being with me all the time can be a lot. Natalie, with Natalie's enough. I don't need to be with you guys all the time. I can barely handle all the stuff that I have to deal with for myself. And that's enough. So we don't know. And we make assumptions, right? And this is where the issues come in, because we assume that we understand people. And so even if I were to ever put a coaching, let's say I put a coaching certification together for people to be coaches, right? And teach them. The first thing I would look at is, are you projecting what you think an individual should be doing, because that's not coaching. That's called advice. And advice doesn't get us anywhere. And in fact, advice is probably the worst thing we could do for an individual, because no one takes our advice anyway. No one ever does, right? You have the friend, you know, the friend that comes and wants your advice, or they're saying, hey, and then you give them the advice, and then you, and then they do the opposite. Like, they're not taking your advice, right? It's like, and then you're like, I told them. Yeah, who cares what you told them? What you told them is irrelevant, obviously, because it didn't work. So advice is not the trick here. That is not what we do as a coach, okay? Coaching is not telling people how to live their life. It's teaching them how to take ownership and power of, with their own life. Not looking and seeking others to tell them what to do. Allowing yourself to trust your process, who you are. Why in the world are you asking other people to teach you how to do your life? You know you better than you. It drives me bonkers. But we've been a society looking, right? Constantly looking for others to teach us, to show us, to tell us, to validate us, to say we're doing it right. Now, I'm not saying we don't need training on certain things or skills for sure. Like, I'm not going to say that I like skills and trades and stuff like that. But when it comes to my own personal well-being and my understanding of my psyche and what's going to work for me, only I can know that. Otherwise, people are projecting. You are not the anxiety. You are aware of the anxiety. Yes, exactly. Very, I like that distinction, Echo. Thank you for that. Very good. So, you know, we don't want to, good morning, Botum. Sorry, I'm probably saying it wrong. Allow people to tell us and project onto us. And this drives me bonkers. I'll be honest. This is a Natalie thing. Okay. This is Natalie stepping in, maybe a little bit judgy. Okay. I'm just putting it out there. I'll let you guys know when it's all judgment. When people project on me what they think I'm going through, I'm like, no. And I stop them. See, that's what we do. We allow people to tell us how we feel. And then we go, oh, yeah, that's how I feel. You're so, that was awesome. No, it's not how I feel. I'm sorry. You're not asking me how I feel. You're telling me, and that's not correct. So I vocalize. I know how I feel inside because I know my body. I know my feelings and emotions. And I will tell you how I feel if you want to know. I don't need you to make up what I'm feeling. I can tell you how I'm feeling. See, difference. But we project. So you're probably feeling like this, or are you feeling like that? There's not even questions, right, in our society. We've even gotten away from asking powerful questions. People don't ask us powerful questions. They just give us advice and tell us what we should do. They're not asking us, oh, you have a PhD in you. You have been learning yourself your whole life. You hold a PhD in yourself. You don't need someone to tell you. You know. And if you don't know, you're repressing it and you're not being honest and authentic with what's really coming up. And that circles back to what I was talking about. So we get to be completely authentic and honest and not ashamed and not afraid. And we don't have to tell it to anybody. We can just write it on a piece of paper, burn it up. But when we start to be honest, we can articulate our authentic self. Right? People are like, oh, you're so awesome. I'm like, no, not really. I mean, if you get to know me and you're around me, you're probably going to go crazy. I guarantee it. People are like, I know myself. I am a lot, right? I am a lot for some people. Right? It's a go, 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 go. I have a drill sergeant in my head, and that's just, it's me. It's who I am. I will do something over and over repetitively until I get it. And then I get frustrated, right? So this is me, but I can be authentic about it and understand. And I can also then look at others and say, look, I'm sorry if I'm projecting on you. this is, I'm like this. Doesn't mean you have to be like this, because then people think they have to keep up with me. And I'm like, you don't have to keep up with me. What? Don't. I can't even keep up with me. So stop, right? Let's see what Echo says. Negative emotions happen because of frustration, and frustration happens because of identification, weird belief, mentality, and other labels. Yes, exactly. So yeah, it's sort of like an onion, right? It just builds up one on top of the other. You know, so it's just like this buildup. So again, you know, you have a PhD in you. You understand you better than anybody. So literally what I would say, this is my recommendation. You don't have to take it. Get a coach, get a life coach. I make the best progress with my coach. And, you know, and then there's therapy and stuff like that. I wouldn't ever tell people to not go to their therapist and stuff like that. I'm not, that's clinical, and that's, but coaching is a different ballpark. It's not therapy. I'm not going to treat you like a therapist would treat you. That's not what I do when I coach. Okay. So coaching, really what it does, what is the difference? The difference is that therapists will go into sort of the back. I feel like they bring up repressed childhood memories, and they don't talk about how do we move forward? Right. So coaches talk about the now and what's forward. Let's move forward. I'm not saying that trigger points of the past don't come up. So sometimes we go into those root issues that sort of cause the trigger for whatever is being programmed by, let's say, parents, or, and it's always parents. It always goes back to parents. Parents are, right, they're the ones who raise us. They're the ones who sort of tap into us. So therapists will sometimes continue to go to the past over and over, and it's like a broken record, right? But they're good. Don't get me wrong. I was seeing a therapist with my mom, and it was great. I think she's an amazing, I loved her. She did a great job. I felt really awesome. But a coach will say, okay, now what? Like, let's move forward. We're not going to stay stuck here. Okay. Coaches are not designed to stay with you forever. In fact, my coaches do not stay with me forever, and I don't want them to. A therapist might have somebody for the rest of their life, right? That's not the point. The point is, I want you to do it on your own. I want you to understand how to support yourself. How do you get past those things? So literally, I've had coaches come in and out of my life, right? And I don't take on coaching clients all the time. I don't have a lot of clients, and I won't take on a lot of clients because I care. I care about the quality that I give, and it has to be natural. It has to be someone who's really seeking coaching and really needs that support and is ready to commit. And so once they do, I say, well, let's do about 5 to 6 sessions to make it good. And then if you want to go longer, you can. But typically after 5 to 6 sessions, they're kind of on their own. Sometimes a couple of sessions, but it's still, you got to do the follow-up. So also, coaches will get these powerful questions, and they help you to transmute them and transform them and create from. So it's not a conversation of let's get stuck in the past. It's like, how do we build off this? How do we make something happen, right? Or we're going to just get stuck in the same storyline. And that's not serving. Obviously, it's not serving individuals. It's also an opportunity to take personal responsibility for the things that show up in our life. Remember, we get projected how we feel all the time. If you are going to your friends for advice, okay, I'm just going to put it, you can do it if you still want to. I say, stop doing that. Stop asking people for advice. Stop it. Or don't. It's up to you. Okay. But I'm going to say stop. Literally. You're not taking their advice anyway, especially if you keep having the same results over and over again. It's like, I've been with the same person, right? This kind of thing. I've been with the same person forever, right? And then you go to your friend and you talk about the person, and they keep saying, oh, leave that person. Oh, this or that. And then 10 years later, you're with the same person. It's the same conversation. Nothing has changed. I'm not saying to leave the person. What I do is I say, okay, let's look at the reasons that you are wanting to leave this individual. What is coming up for you? How is that in your body? How is that making you feel, right? How do we shift that energy so the conversation changes? Now, it could be a perception change on your part. And that one shift can change the entire relationship into something magnificent. But it was just your distorted perception. It could be the other way. It could be that the relationship's just not serving you and it hasn't been, and you know that, and you're just hanging on to it because you're afraid. So there's all these different ways it could play out. But you know you better than your friends know you, okay? You live in your body. I don't ask for advice, okay? That's not my thing. I go with what's right for Natalie. So I'll seek support through these different modalities. And the modalities that I use in my life, right, to help structure and construct my life into my divine purpose, coaching is one. So I have a dear friend who coaches. We trade coaching. I coach her. She coaches me. So we coach each other, right? And then if that doesn't work, I have a spiritual guide, my friend Raven, and she does readings, tarot readings, and I go to her and she gives me some spiritual guidance, okay? If that doesn't work, I have my other spiritual friends that I go to get deeper understanding and meaning. What I do is I go to all of these places, and then I really dig deep into who I am as an individual. And then I construct the best thing for me. And in that, I'm able to articulate, right, the results of what I want to create. I'm able to put it in a package that makes sense for me. And the communication becomes clearer. I'm able to communicate clearer to other individuals. So if there's a situation with a specific person, let's say I have a conflict with a person that's really important to me, I will do the work I need to do on myself so that when I communicate with this individual, it's clear and concise and it's authentically me without putting the blame on anyone, but taking full responsibility for what happened to me and why I felt the way I felt. That communication doesn't, there's no place to go. There's no place for argument. There's just not. The other individual has no place to argue. Then there's results. There's results from it, right? And then there's commitments. And sometimes these conversations mean the other person says, hey, we don't align. I'm walking away. And that's okay. That's the problem with us as people. We get attached to, it has to be this person. It has to be this way. And sometimes people walk out of your life. I've had so many people walk out of my life. And then this, I was looking through this old post and I was looking at the people that like unfriended me. I don't even know if people friend me, unfriend me. I don't even pay attention, right? I love everybody. So if they unfriend me, it's fine. And I was like, oh, wow, look at all these people that like unfriended me. And I was like, they were at a different stage in life. And there was something that I did said that didn't serve them. And they just said goodbye. And that's okay, right? That's okay. I don't have to be everybody's cup of tea or coffee. I've said this a million trillion times. And sometimes they come and they sip the tea and they love it. And then they need a break. And then they come back, they sip the tea and they love it. And some people say, oh, okay, I don't want to sip that tea anymore. I'm going in another direction. And that's okay. People come and go in our life. When we become truer to our authentic self, we're going to let things go. You've got to let things go. If you don't, you're holding on to the old things that aren't serving you. When we let it go, new things arise. And now we have this whole new opportunity to create from a whole different level. If you thought of it as levels, and I'm not saying they're below you, beneath you, or whatever, okay? But if you did see it as levels, you're let's just say that you're at this level with these individuals, okay? Or we'll put it this way, because I don't like to say people are beneath. And to me, that's no. But let's just say you're on this like level and you're on a lower level, okay? And you're trying to sort of move up, right? To be part of a conversation with individuals that you're not in conversation with, right? This is where we go, ooh, I would love to talk to that person. They're so amazing and this and that. And you revere them, right? And you don't even know how to get or be part of their little clan or their whatever. Okay. So first of all, we have to be able to be authentic with who we are and have those dialogues with those individuals that might be driving us bonkers. Okay. They might get upset and leave. You might say it's time for me just to disconnect, whatever it may be. What ends up happening is you open up the gate to elevate your group of individuals. Now, I'm not saying they don't elevate because they do too. See, you guys might even be holding each other back from actually elevating and blossoming. This happens in relationships all the time, especially when you're with your high school sweetheart and stuff like that, right? Or people that you just get to a point where you don't grow anymore. And people hold on so tightly. And then when they let go, all of a sudden they're doing all these magnificent things without you. And you're like, what the hell? Why didn't you do that when you're with me? Well, because you guys were hindering each other's progression. That's why you guys couldn't do it. You had to step out and you had to elevate. And then you let go and you're like, I was a detriment. We were a detriment to each other. Great people, detriment to each other. But we learned a lot. Now we can actually blossom. I see this happen all the time. So being sober is helping me be more authentic. Yeah, I'm still trying to work out what to shed. Yes, Linga. And then sobriety is really going to, that's going to shift your entire whole life. People really didn't want to talk to me after I got sober. I lost a lot of friends. They were like, nah, we like the Natalie that got, was a drunk bitch. Sorry, excuse my language. Oops, that just slipped. That was a total Freudian slip, by the way. But they did. They loved me as a drunk girl. And then I wasn't as super fun, I guess. I don't know. And everybody kind of said goodbye. And that was fine with me. And that's good. Because now I have people, let me tell you what, now I have people I can party still because I'm still fun. Like, I'm fun. I don't need alcohol to be crazy. I'm already crazy. So when I do that, like if I go out and I'm having a great time, right, with individuals sober, and guess what? All my friends that I have now, they drink and they know I don't drink, and they never try to force me to drink, and they never, oh, come on, just one. They don't do that to me. They know I don't drink. They understand this. And they have just as much fun with me as when I was drinking. In fact, people think I'm drunk and I'm not, which is funny because I think I just take on the energy no matter what. And it's a natural high. And I can last longer than they can. Yeah, then what? You just drove yourself mad instead. Yeah. Yeah. And what I ended up doing is refocused my energy on things that were important to me. I refocused my energy on my divine purpose. For instance, spirit and coffee would not be if I was still an alcoholic. It just wouldn't. You know why? Because I'd be hungover. And hungover wouldn't allow me to get up in the morning and do it. Or it would be half-assing it, right? I would be half-assing. It wouldn't be in true integrity. I just wouldn't be in integrity. I wouldn't. I know it because I understand. I know. I understand what it was like to be in, not in integrity from drinking. That drinking alcohol for me was a huge issue in my progression for my divine purpose and divine right. And now on the other spectrum of it, right, is that I can tap into that euphoric sensation without having alcohol, because I can naturally, we have it when we tap into it, we have no hangover. In fact, we get more of that excited juice going so that we can start to create other things. And it's cool. We can do different projects, right? And that's why I do Kung Fu. And everybody's like, how do you do all this stuff you do? I literally, my whole life, people were like, how do you do all this? How do you do all this stuff? Well, that's why. I'm constantly working on my state of mind. I'm working on my body. I'm working on all these different facets of my life. Little at a time. Now, because I've worked on it for so little, I can take on more. My capacity grows. Your capacity starts to grow when you start to work on things. it's almost like the gym. When you go to the gym the first time, like, yeah, you're not going to go all out and you shouldn't go all out. You're going to do some, maybe 20 minutes. Okay. And you do that for like, I don't know, 3 weeks. Then you say, okay, now I'm gonna do 30 minutes. And then you go on. And then before you know it, you're there 2 hours and it's like, yeah. And you feel great. And you're, then you're like, okay, now that I'm a master at that, I can add on more stuff. It's finding lots more time and money now. Yeah. Now that's a good thing to actually bring light to, Linga. A couple of things. I'm going to be doing a course called Setting Goals and Achieving Them. I'm working on it. I'm having some blockages. I'm not going to lie. Like it's kind of a scary thing for me, but it talks about the time. Okay. Hey, Betty. So time, how to utilize time. Time is the most precious gift we have. It's not money. It's time and what we do with our time. Okay. We don't get time back. Time is a really interesting concept. So you're finding time, rather, I'd say, so let's change the sentence. So you're not finding more time. What you're doing is cultivating and creating more time. When we cultivate and create more time, right? Time is an interesting concept. When we look at it from physics, right? If you looked at it from the physics perspective, they don't even know how to account for time. It's relative. It doesn't even make sense. It's a construct of something that we've created, right? Because we say we have a birth and an expiration date that we can see. We have a sunrise and a sunset, okay? The moon comes out and has cycles. So we base it on these cycles that we view and experience, but what is time really, okay? Time is an interesting concept and I love talking about time. And in fact, my program helps people recognize how to create time. You are learning to create time. Why? Because you've let something go. Okay, you've let this thing go that was consuming your time. Okay, it was taking. You were giving your time and it was taking and sucking it away. Now, if we shift something in our time, like for instance, being sober, sobriety is an interesting thing. What we've allowed ourselves to do is gift ourselves more time. We have gifted ourselves and cultivated extra time. So yes, letting go of certain things will allow us to cultivate and to expand our time. Crazy. Just like meditation does. People don't even realize this. The less time you have, the more you should meditate. That's the same. Yes, I got cultivated time with small kids. Absolutely. So there you go. So you're redirecting that energy into the small kids, right? Now, how you utilize that time is critical. Okay. So you can be intentional with that time now, which is beautiful. That's a blessing in itself. Amen. I agree, Linga. So proud of you. So we say, okay, this time that I have, that I'm cultivating to spend with these people that I love can be intentional. This is another reason why having a coach is important. Coaches help you set your intentions so that you're using your time wisely. How do you use your time? Are you using it wisely? Yes, because you've been in a fog and now you're out of the fog, which is awesome. Congratulations. Good. Clean those cobwebs from the eyes and allow yourself to see life in its full bliss and beauty, which is time. It's timeless. When you get to the other side, this is what's cool. Okay, I'm going to give you guys like a little secret here. Most people won't hear this because guess what? They're not on here, but you will. There is this concept, okay? And I've showed you guys the book once, right? The Yahweh book. Anyway, there's this concept of time. When we understand how to utilize our time properly, we live on the other side of time. Most people live on the constructed side of time. 24 hours in a day, 7 days a week, right? When you learn to live timeless, okay, and you step into the other side of time, you then become the creator of your own reality and story. You now become the creator of your own abundance. You have now seized and took back the power to work with time. You no longer are bound by the programming of what people said time is. It's a powerful place to be. Now, to get there, not easy. Takes a lot of work. Not everybody's gifted this. They're not gifted it because they're not willing to put in the work. This is something that you can't take a pill, okay? And it's harder than just going to the gym and working out. Right? It takes us really looking at ourselves in the mirror. Not an easy one. This is probably the hardest one to get through. But it's possible. It is possible to reclaim our time fully. Okay, yeah, but if time is relative and has a construct that we create, then we are only manifesting our own time. Yes, you're about to say this. Yes. So there you go. So time is a cool construct, right? That we can then use to create our own divine purpose, right? And then we get to utilize it. And so people don't, the story that I hear, and I didn't even realize this until I started talking to other individuals. The story that I hear is, yeah, but we have to work. So we don't have time to really contemplate spirituality in God's work. And I'm like, no, excuse. And you guys, if you guys know me, I don't do excuses. That's an excuse. I worked. If I told you guys the story and everything that I've overcome, I can't hear excuses because I've overcome so much shit in my life. I can't even explain the stuff that I've been through. It's ridiculous, right? What I've come out of, right, wasn't easy. This wasn't handed to me. I worked. I understood what it entailed to come from this place into this space now. So excuses are excuses. That's not going to get the work done. And that's okay. It's fine. It doesn't mean that your people are bad if they make these excuses. It doesn't make them bad people. It just means they're not ready. If you want it, you're going to do it. You're going to go for it. Trust me, you will. If I told you there was $1 million, I love this one. Okay. If I told you there's $1 million waiting under this chair, and the only condition is that you're on time, your ass is going to be on time. The things that we value, right? Where do we put our value in things? But if I told you that to get to this $1 million, you had to work on yourself every single day and connect into your divine birthright and to God, would you do it? Hey, good morning, bestie. What? I cannot believe you're on here. This is such a honor. And by the way, bestie, I see that you've been liking my stuff on LinkedIn. So I know you're active. I've seen you grow from a young girl to a beautiful woman. Truth. Thanks, Betty. I appreciate it. And Betty knows more than anyone on here where we were raised, in the hood. I did not come from this glamorous lifestyle, okay? Not even in the least bit. And I love it. Trust me, I love every bit of it, right? We did have, and I'm not saying we were in complete poverty because we weren't. We were, but it was ghetto. I was raised in the ghettos, for real. And the kids I went to school with, there was gangs and it was just, you know, drugs. And it was not, you know, it wasn't the best education. I didn't go to the private schools and all this stuff. And I wanted to. I did. I wanted to. But, you know, that wasn't going to happen. And, you know, I was called, my teachers told me I wasn't going to amount to shit. And, you know, I mean, it even makes me want to cry now saying it, because I didn't come from, I didn't come from this place of, Natalie, you're a genius, you're an amazing person. No, that's not at all. Right? Everything was set up to work against me. Literally, like, the systems are made that way. And I said, yeah, you don't know me then. I'm a warrior. I'm not this fragile little princess. I'm sorry. And I'm going to fight, right? Fight. And now I'm going to cry. So I don't want to hear bullshit excuses from people. Because no, you're just selling out on your damn self is what's happening. When you give excuses, you're selling out on your own self. And that makes me cry. Because what you're saying is, I'm not enough. I'm not worthy. I don't matter. I can't do it. Bullshit. You can. So go out and do it, because you can. Because if I can, you can. I know it. I know it because I can. And if I can, you can. Right? We all have this ability to pull our ass out of the darkness and out of the pits and rise, you know? And that's why I do this shit. Sorry, I'm just like so passionate right now. I do it because you guys are enough. And will enough people hear this? No. Because people are selling out on themselves, really. They'll numb themselves out to social media. They'll numb themselves out to the news. They'll numb themselves out to drugs because they don't want to face their own shit. Just look at yourself in the freaking mirror and face your shit, okay? There, I said it. Face your shit. That's the, if I could talk for real, real, you guys would not like me. You're running the opposite direction. Enough did today. Yeah, I heard it. Yep. There you go. Right? Pull your head out your ass. Okay, this is what my dad said. I'm gonna end with this. This is kind of funny, and you could, because I have actually a meeting I gotta get on in 15 minutes, but this is what my dad said, and I'm gonna tell you, and I love it. Pull your head out your ass. Clear the caca and smell the roses. I couldn't stop laughing after he told me that, but it's true, you know. And you guys know, you guys already know this. So let's get people who don't know this to know this, to understand that they're a badass and that there's no excuse, no excuses. Okay, there you go. Awesome. All right. So I better get going. Love you guys so much. Thank you, Bestie, for getting on here. I'm glad that you're back. I love you very much. I'm very proud of you. I can't even describe or say how proud of you I am, Bestie. And I can't wait to give you a big old hug and we can celebrate. Yeah. Okay. All right. Love you guys. Have a fantastical day. Please get the word out to people, right? That's what this is about. Please get the word out to people. Right. Tell them to listen at least to the end of this, at least the last 3 minutes or 2 minutes or whatever. It was even 5 seconds. I don't even know. Whatever second. Tell them, go rewatch, fast forward to that particular moment where Natalie tells you that there are no excuses. Get your head out of your ass and start moving, because you can do it, because you're a badass. And saying that you're not, and all these excuses aren't working anymore. Stop it. Okay. All right. There you go. Love you guys. I will see you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye.